Excellent. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about architecture. I'm an architect myself. I've been doing it for about 20 years. I do primarily houses, design houses, in and around Pittsburgh. But you can, as an architect, you can design all kinds of buildings. Get into a little bit about that here in a few minutes. I have two sons, one that's in high school. He's a senior right now, and he doesn't know what he's going to do yet when he gets out of high school as far as a career. He's thinking maybe be a pilot. The other son, my older son, is second year in college. He's at Virginia Tech studying mechanical engineering. So it's a similar field to architecture. What drew me to architecture is that the subjects that you study for architecture and that you involve with on a daily basis are all kinds of different topics, like everything from math to science to English to art, philosophy. And so that kind of piqued my interest because I have kind of like a whole variety of things that I find intriguing. And so I get a chance to kind of apply those things each day with the work that I'm doing. And so as an example, I'll show you this. Does anyone recognize what this is?
A bunch of cells or coral reef.
Close. Bacteria, exactly. So these are like what's called microorganisms, super small. I have to look at them through a microscope. And biology, it has ties to architecture in that, well, let me ask you this. How many people ride the bus to school? And then when you get home from school, between the time you get home from school and the time you go to bed, how many of you spend time outdoors? And then once you spend time outdoors, do you spend more than an hour? 2 hours? 3 hours? Okay, so what's interesting is I just learned about a week and a half ago. That's the other thing I like about architecture is I'm learning like new things every day, so it's really fascinating. But about a week and a half ago, I found out that the average American spends 90% of their time indoors. And so that's kind of fascinating because since architects are designing indoor space, we've got like this captive audience because you're spending literally 90% of your life inside these spaces that we're creating. And so, you know, how does that impact and change who you are as a person by being inside these indoor spaces that we're designing and creating? And so related to this bacteria, I'm sure you guys are all aware that your body is like covered with bacteria, like inside your gut and on your skin and like all these different types of bacteria. There's like hundreds of thousands of different species of bacteria in your body. And it's this thing called this microbiome, which is the bacteria that makes up your body, is unique to you and it's different from, you know, everyone else. And so it's almost like a fingerprint. And this microbiome that you have when you're inside the classroom here now, or you're at home and you spend, you know, most of your time in your house, 90% of your time indoors, these microbes that are in your body are leaching out into the space that's around you. And so like if you spend a lot of time in your bedroom, or this morning when you got up and got out of bed to come to school, you're leaving like these little microorganisms that came out of your body overnight and that are inside your bed or on the floor in your bedroom or in the bathroom as you're going into the bathroom to, you know, get ready for school. And so when you come back home today, you get back into your bedroom, these microorganisms that you left there this morning are now like interacting with these microorganisms that are, you know, coming back in your body now here later in the day. And these, you know, these, because they came from your body earlier today, your body's microorganisms recognize them, and they recognize them as being something, you know, that they're familiar with. And so this idea of how a space feels, like the fact that your house feels familiar when you come home, you recognize it because you've been there many times, and it feels comfortable or it feels safe. And this whole idea of how the space feels is tied to some degree to these microorganisms because of the fact that your body, on a microscopic scale, recognizes these things that are in your space that you've created. And even more interestingly, what I learned a week and a half ago is that these microorganisms that you're putting into the space, since they're intermingling with the other microorganisms that are already in the space, those two are coming together and they're creating hybrids, or they're morphing into new microorganisms. And these new ones they're creating are unique to inside space. They don't find these microorganisms outside. And so we've created, by living 90% of our time inside, we've created a whole new type of microorganisms that have evolved. And so that gets into, I'll touch on this a little bit later on, but it gets into this idea of how space feels. And so that's primarily what got me into architecture, is my interest in like how a space feels and why does it feel a particular way. And so that kind of leads to my own house. When I was a young kid, I always wanted to design my own house. And primarily because I wanted to say, you know, are the way the things are now, like the way a door is typically a rectangular shaped door. Does it have to be that way? Can you design a door in a different way than what the way that most doors are designed and built? Inside the space, can you make a space that's circular as opposed to a rectangle? Or can you make walls that lean in and out as opposed to straight up and down? And so even on the railing of the staircase that goes up to the second floor, you can see these shells. I took things from nature. Since I'm trying to recreate a new type of door or a new type of space, I'm like, okay, well, what do I make? And so I would look at things like shells or other things in nature as inspiration for that. And so like if you take a shell and you cut a slice through it, what's called a section, as architects will like constantly for drawings, they'll cut sections through various parts of the building so they can see inside the walls of the building how things are gonna go together. You find like with a shell, you see this spiral shape that you couldn't see when it was before cutting into it. And so this spiral shape would then inform how I was going to arrange the different rooms in the house in this spiral type shape, as opposed to laying them out like in square blocks that you would do with a typical house. And so I brought some shells here. I thought if you wanted, you could take one home with you. Just kind of remind you of the different shapes. Here's some pictures of the kitchen in the house. You'll notice like all the windows are round in the house, again, because most windows you come across outside are rectangular in shape. Another interesting thing, like in the bathroom and our shower, one of the things I've learned as an architect working on houses for 20 years is that showers really only come in two types. There's either a shower curtain on the outside of the shower that hangs from a curtain rod, or they're like a glass enclosure fixed in place. And so I thought, is it possible to make a hanging glass curtain where you combine the two together? And so this was my way of trying to figure out how to do that, because one of the things as an architect, in addition to coming up with these designs, you have to figure out how you're actually going to make it. I took glass plates and I hung them from fishing lines and binder clips, and just hung them from the curtain rod and layered the plates almost like fish scales, so that way it would still shed the water, because even though you're kind of creating these funky new things, they still have to function. They still have to work like a shower curtain to where it keeps the water inside the shower. And so this was an example of that. Give you a little bit of background as far as schooling. After I got out of high school and I went into college, to study as an architect and train. This is a model that I created with my professor working on my thesis. And my thesis was to study space. Again, going back to this idea of how a space feels and what are the things inside that space that change or affect the way a space feels. And so with this model, the idea was I had two walls that were curved, and then I had these two figures, scale figures, that represented people. And this person standing down here inside this space that's kind of defined by this wall, and then this person standing kind of behind the wall in a space beyond that. And so here's a drawing that shows kind of like a floor plan, and you can see the two curved walls, and you can see the two people standing there. And this person here, this dotted kind of bubble, represents kind of his sense of space of defined by this curved wall. And then if you take that curved wall and you shift it, and you move it back, what does that do? And so you can see here the person standing in behind the wall, their space gets a little bit more compressed, gets smaller, tighter, and so their sense of space feels a little bit more confined. This person that's standing out in front here, their space expands and gets larger. And so, again, it was looking at these how the objects in the space change your perception of what the space feels like. And so then after studying it in model form, I then built these forms here, larger forms that I've installed into a hallway on campus. This was outside the president's office. And then I took and I watched the people as they went through the hallway, and I marked down the paths that they would walk as they walked through the hallway. Here, they were coming in through the front door. They were going to this elevator to go upstairs to the higher floors. And they pushed the button, and then after they pushed the button, as they were waiting for the elevator to arrive, they just kind of meander around the hall, waiting for it. And so here you can see this, these forms that I created hanging here. This one on the left was this beginning condition, before condition, and then the one on the right is I lowered this form down a few inches. So it would be kind of this point originally, and then a little closer down to your head height after I dropped it. And then I watched to see, did that change the way people kind of behaved in the space by just making that little small little adjustment? So here in the plan, you can see this dotted line is the piece that I moved. This is before condition. These dots, each one of these dots is where someone would stand. They go push the elevator button as they're waiting. They just kind of stand here. I put a dot. So you can kind of see they would stand next to the elevator. They might stand in the center of the room, or some of them would stand closer to the front door and kind of look out the window as they're waiting for the elevator to arrive. When I move this form down to where it's closer to your head in the center of the room, people stopped kind of waiting around in the center of the room. It was almost like it was more imposing because it was closer to them. And so that as a result, the behavior of the people shifted to the closer to the elevator. So there was a way that you could kind of design and use the things in the room to be able to manipulate and control kind of the behavior and the use of the space. And as a result, now the space is clear in the center for like circulation, people walking past. They're not kind of like bumping into these people that are waiting around for the elevator. So I took these things and I'd apply them to like the houses that I work on now today as an architect. And as an example, I brought this house. This is a design for a house that we're building just down the street in Mars. And you can see the idea for this house was this: in the center here, we have a courtyard that's open to the sky. It's kind of an outdoor space, but we've arranged the rooms in the house, like the kitchen and the family room and the playroom and that kind of stuff, all around this open courtyard. And so it was going back to this idea of this 90% of the time that you spend indoors. I was like, is there a way that, like my thesis, where you could kind of design the space or the building to encourage people to spend more time outdoors? And so the idea was this outdoor space, because it's enclosed by these other indoor spaces, it kind of blurs the line between, even though you're outside, you know, you can see the sky, you don't feel like you're outside. You still kind of feel enclosed by the house. And so it kind of blurs the line between inside and outside. And so this is what's called a massing model. And this is to kind of help the homeowners kind of see physically what their house is going to look like, pass this around it. And then as we're working on the design, I increased the scale of the models, make them bigger. Here I took this model and I was looking inside, you know, how the kitchen's going to lay out with the cabinetry, how the structure of the house with these A-frames is going to come together and interrelate together. And so work on the models in a larger scale. And then eventually, after the design was finalized, I'd create what's called a framing model. And this shows each piece of the house that's going to be built, the studs on the walls, the joists for the roof and the floors, how it's all going to come together, so that way the contractors that are actually building the house can understand how the house is going to be pulled together and constructed. So I thought I'd show you a few pictures of the house construction. Here's this inside courtyard space. As the contractors pour in the concrete for the ground, the floor. Interestingly enough, when you design an outdoor space inside your house, you have to figure out how you're going to deal with all the rain that comes in or the snow. And so, like you can see here, the sky up above, it all comes down inside. You don't want that rain to like find its way into the house. It's kind of trapped in this inside space. So we created like this little trough that goes around the perimeter. All the water would run into this trough, and then that would carry it out almost like a little stream that brings it out and exits from inside this inside courtyard. You can see here the model that's passing around. the design and the model form, and then actually what gets built and the similarities between the little changes that we make as we go along. Here's some pictures inside showing the framing. And then in addition to that, through the whole process, there's hundreds of things that you have to kind of make decisions on of how you're going to actually finish the house out. So like as an example, here's some stonework that's going on to the house. This is a little section that the masons would put up and show to the homeowner so they can get an understanding of what it's going to look like before they do all of the stonework on the house so they can make any kind of changes to it, which we ended up doing. We changed the way that we put the mortar inside between the stone. Here's an example of a little sketch that I made for the railing design before for these openings in the courtyard. And then you can see here the railing itself that's after it was fabricated, being installed into the courtyard. But most of my day is spent going to job site to talk to the different contractors, like this excavator here, for example, that's digging the trench for the water line that's going into the house. Just to answer any kind of questions they might have on the design, just for clarity. Here's a sketch of the front door that we designed for this house. And you can see this drawing here next to it is the carpenter that's actually gonna build the door. He puts the drawing onto a computer so that way he can look at it in more finer detail. And then you can see a picture here of the actual door panel for the lower portion of the door that he's actually already built. He'll be assembling this door this weekend, and then next week, Monday or Tuesday, we're going to install the door into the house. And so, going through the house, these houses, I just look at all the little details that are going in and make sure that one, it's being built the way that we intended with the design, but two, just to make sure that the quality of the work is maintained. One last example with this house, I'll show you the cabinet in the bathroom. When they installed the cabinetry and put the countertop in, the woodwork on the cabinetry, after the homeowner saw it, the wood had too much variation between light and dark colored wood. And they didn't think, when they originally picked the cabinets, they didn't think that it was going to have that much variation. And so a large part of what also I do as an architect is try to problem solve. You know, how do you now fix this situation? And so one of the ideas that the carpenter that's actually building the front door came up with was this Japanese technique where they would take wood and they burn it with a flame, like a blowtorch. And by taking the wood and burning it, you create this kind of like charcoal kind of singed surface. And so we're considering now taking the wood panels off the cabinet and burning them to create this kind of like charcoal surface, because we thought the color of the tile on the floor and the color of the countertop would blend nicely with this kind of charcoal color for the cabinets. So with that, I'll see if there's any questions that you might have. And if not, I'll give you a little peek to where architecture is heading in the future. Because one of the other things that I love about architecture as a career is that it's radically changing from what it was when I was a student to even today as I'm practicing. This is a project in Japan by an architect that's creating an outdoor space, much like in the courtyard for this house. He's creating this outdoor public courtyard, public space, but what he's trying to do is create a space where the architecture, the built portion, dissolves away, and almost like physically, you don't see it, you don't recognize it, trying to kind of blur the lines, much the way with the house where I was trying to blur the lines between the inside and outside space. He's trying to blur the lines between built form and non-built form. So it's almost like something you would see out of a movie, as far as the space becoming completely ambiguous. And so here he's got a similar thing. He's got an opening to the sky, much like the courtyard in our house. But then the light that comes down through here, the rain that comes down through here, kind of defines these little spots that people end up gravitating towards to sit in the sunlight, as an example. And just by the way that he's kind of designed the space around it. And so again, it goes back to this thing that I've been kind of seeking my entire career, as far as how a space feels, how you can kind of design to create a certain feeling in a space. And speaking of space, one of the other ways that architecture is radically changing is that I'm sure you're aware there's people trying to get to the moon and to Mars. Very quickly, we're going to be designing houses for the moon and for Mars. And so along those lines, a couple of years ago, I entered a design competition for designing a structure for the moon. And so I looked at a particular spot, a crater, getting down inside the crater. And again, I looked at nature to figure out a way to kind of inspire a new way to kind of create space or create a structure on the moon, since you're dealing with different properties that you find on Earth. And so I thought of a spider that spins a web and then inhabits inside this kind of web. And I thought, you know, is it possible to create architecture that's much like this, that you can create a space that you can inhabit inside almost like a spider's web to be able to span, you know, much the same way a spider very efficiently ties to the structure around it. You could tie to the craters around it and create these inhabitable spaces. So this was like the design that I came up with for this structure that spanned inside this crater of the moon. Each one of these were kind of made up of small little individual pods that were almost kind of like a hammock kind of cocoon that you could inhabit to sit in or sleep. And then interestingly enough, some students at Carnegie Mellon are currently studying this exact thing where they're creating these structures that are the size of a human body. And they're doing it for different reasons. They're doing it for trying to create temporary shelters for disaster relief type areas, or also possibly to provide shelter for homeless people. So it's dealing with the same type principles of the human body, all these things like biology and how you create a space that can provide shelter on a smaller scale. And in addition to that, you look at the International Space Station, which is also up in orbit. This is a space that is also created where we live 90% of our time indoors. The astronauts up at the space station are indoors 100% of the time. And interestingly enough, one of those guys that's up there now is this guy here, Woody. He just went up there about a week and a half ago. He's from Pittsburgh. He went to school in 2004, he graduated. But he'll be up there for the next month and a half.
Your attention. We would like all 8A students to report to their lockers to place all remaining items in a classroom and get the locker checked by a teacher. All 8A students, please report to your lockers. Thank you.
So one last thing I'll point out is this lander here that's being built by this company called Astrobotic. They're here in Pittsburgh, and they built this lander. In addition to that, they've got a rover that's going in the lander, and on May 4th, in about a month, they're going to be launching this to the moon, and it'll be the first time that the U.S. has been back to the moon in like over 50 years. And so keep your ears open for that when it happens, because it'll put Pittsburgh on the map internationally as far as they'll be, once this spaceship gets up into the atmosphere, heads to the moon, they'll be controlling the landing onto the moon here in Pittsburgh on the north side. So with that, I want to thank you for listening and just give you a little bit more insight into how architecture is changing going forward from the just the houses that I've been working on for myself. Any other questions?
All right, you guys say thank you.
Thank you.